Worth from Florida, DeLand, Florida, to be exact, the Bible Baptist Church of DeLand, Florida, under Pastor James W. Knox. I've graduated the Bible school there, and over the years, me and Carlos became really good friends, and just a blessing to be able to talk with him about church matters, encouragement, serving the Lord, being a Christian, a real Bible-believing Christian in this evil present world. It's a hard thing. See this work here today, as we're here in this building, a few people here. Don't knock the believers that are here. Don't knock the small building. Carlos has been faithful for over 5 years. Imagine doing something like this for 5 years and keeping your eyes on the Lord. Tough times are going to get tough. People are going to leave the church. People are going to come. People are just going to come and go. And what you got to do is keep being faithful to the Lord. As we open up this Bible study, we're doing the book of Jonah. We did it all week, as much as I could, two sermons. Now we're on the third one here. And I can't get past a few verses because there's so much packed in the Bible concerning Jonah being an Old Testament book, and yet there's so much for us in the New Testament times for this church and any other church at that. I'm going to go ahead, if you open up your Bible, to Jonah chapter 1. And I'm going to read the first chapter again, and even though we can't get past this first chapter, we're going to do our best to get some practical applications, something that will help us in our everyday lives. Whether you're saved or whether you're not, this should be a help to you, I'm hoping and praying. Have an open heart, have an open mind as we open up the Word of God and try to help those that are lost and those that are saved, no matter what condition you're in. First of all, let's go ahead and pray. I want to do that first, so let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you for being so good to us each and every day, loading us daily with benefits, allowing us your long-suffering grace and kindness to be revealed to us each and every day. Father, I pray for the church today, those that are saved. I pray if anybody's here that's not saved, that has not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul, I pray, Father, there'll be an open heart today to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved forever. We're thinking of our eternal destiny, not the temporal state we're in right now. Father, we thank you for, again, for being so good to us. Thank you for being good to this church. And we ask you to bless the service tonight. Bless the preaching of your word. I'm just a man, Father. I'm a sinful man. Pray that you could use me tonight as a vessel to be a blessing to those that are lost, those that are saved. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so guys, I'm up here. I'm, again, as I said in the prayer, I'm just a sinner. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm not talking down to you as if, you know, you're nobody and I'm somebody. I'm telling you, I'm a blind man leading other blind people to sight. I'm a beggar leading other beggars to bread. So by no means am I self-righteous up here. I'm telling you, I'm trusting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm trusting in what he did for me on the cross. I'm not trusting in my own goodnesses. I'm so glad that one day I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I heard what he did on the cross for my sins. And it wasn't by anything good that I did to put me where I'm at. It's by the grace and love and kindness and the finished cross work of Christ that I would trust and believe on that he would save me. Now listen, three truths concerning the cross of Jesus, that he would save me from my sins. Point one, I'd be forgiven of sins. Point two, I would be reconciled to God. I know that's a huge word. We don't use that terminology a lot in our world, in our day and age. Reconciliation, all that means in a nutshell is, I had a broken relationship with God. And when I believed on Jesus Christ, that relationship is now fixed. You say, but wasn't there a time before that you yourself broke that relationship? No, it was broken because of Adam's sin in the garden. So by Adam's sin, Romans 5:12, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all people, all men, for that all have sinned. So by one man's sin, the death penalty was brought into the world. You say, how is that just? Well, God said if he would just obey him, that wouldn't have happened. but he didn't obey. Now we would like to blame Adam. We like to blame him and say, well, you know, if I was there, I would have never sinned. Well, the fact of the matter is, in our nature as human beings, all of us sin all the time, every day. How much more if we were in that garden, we would have sinned too? You see what I'm saying? Our nature is no different. And imagine Adam, he was in a righteous state. He never sinned. And God said, don't eat from that tree, and he ate from it. And he was a righteous man. If there's anybody that could call himself self-righteous and be right about it, because he actually was righteous in himself, it would be Adam. It would be Adam. And Adam sinned. So how much more that we should not look at Adam and condemn Adam and say, hey, you know, if I was in that garden, I probably would have did the same thing. We probably, all of us would. So it's so important that we look at this thing at the right angle instead of just, you know, blowing things off and just reading it vainly. Read it and understand it and then apply it to your life. And I'm telling you, it's going to help you in the long run to have a right view of God, have a right view of sin, and have a right view of where you stand as a person in the eyes of a holy God. God is not up there trying to take you out like some would claim. You got preachers out there all the time claiming, God's just waiting to take you out. You know, you little sinner, you. I'm just going to send you to hell because I'm waiting for you, you know. God's not out there. God's not up there doing that. I mean, people don't read the Bible. That's why they come with these thoughts. But if you read the Bible and you look at the example of Jesus Christ and what he did on earth, he had humility. He was humble. People spat on him. People pulled his beard, the hairs of his beard out. They put a crown of thorns on his head, a spear in his side. We're talking about the Son of God, the only one that was ever righteous. He was righteous above Adam in the garden before he sinned. Because Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, and he is able to save, listen, anyone that would call upon him. See the contingency there? You have to call upon him. You say, but God created me. He's not going to let me die in my sin. He's not going to let me go to hell. It's a neat thought if that was the case in the Bible, but it's not. What I'm telling you today is, just like me many, many, many years ago, I thought as long as I try to do right in my life, as long as I try to be the best person I can be, that God's going to look at me, he's going to smile at me, he's going to say, hey, Ed, you did more good than bad. Come on up here to heaven. It's not the case. It's not the case. So what I had to do is, when somebody cared enough about me to tell me what the gospel was, and that's what's lacking in our society today amongst churches. That's what's lacking all over the world, is people don't know the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. All they know is they heard about Jesus. They might have known about Jesus dying on a cross. They might know about Jesus' resurrection on the third day. They might know about going to church being a good thing to do. They might know about water baptism, and that's really messed up now in a lot of people's understandings. They think baptism saves them, getting the water. Wow, you're saved. No, that's what do you do if you're not around any water? You're in a desert. How you can't get in the water, so you can't get saved, right? Water never saved anybody. What do we use water for, guys? Take a shower, get clean in this body of flesh. Never does anything for the soul. What? How do you cleanse that soul? This is the big question, the huge question of humanity. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going when I die? Those are the three big questions that world out there cannot answer. All the science that you could learn in this world could never answer those three questions. But you know who can, not what, you know who can answer that question? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Bible, gives you the answer. Jesus Christ created you with purpose. Where did I come from? Jesus Christ, the mind of God, created you and with intrinsic value. He says, I care about you. I care about what I made you to be. But he said, it's up to you to want to be what I made you to be. If you don't want to be that, he'll not make you. So people always want, well, God's so real, let him strike me down. Be glad he's not striking us down. By God not striking us down right now, showing his grace, his kindness, his long-suffering, and his mercy. And I praise God, he didn't strike me down. He should have. If there's anybody that should be struck down, should be me. I lived a